pursuing your passion, chasing your passion, whatever the hell it is, we're done with that. That's out the window. That's in the past. It's temporary. We are going for sustainability now. That's what we want. We want a life that doesn't fall apart, that doesn't get shaken with the storms. We want a concrete, anchored life that is sustainable, that works, and that brings us joy and happiness. And to do that, we have to create a system, because goals give you direction, but systems create progress. And the system is the ecosystem. It's a holistic picture of our whole entire life connected by these eight pillars. And if you work on all these, to discipline these and to get to a point to where you are proud of who you are, it's game over, baby. Nothing can affect you because you live in your own world now. All right, what up, everybody? Welcome back to Conscious Rebel. This is episode 3. Today, we are going to be talking about something that has been on my mind for quite some time now, for probably the last month or so, that I've kind of been ruminating on, and that is the idea of building a life that you are proud of. It's so interesting because the more you pull away from the world, the more you pull away from distractions, the more you pull away from social media, the more you begin to develop more clarity about what you really want. And this is why for me, I kind of went on a social media fast for about 3 months, because I needed to get rid of that noise in order to really discern what do I want, because it was really being muddled by what other people wanted or what other people deemed as valuable in society. And my own desires then began to become enmeshed with that. And it was really hard to separate what was it that I wanted because other people had and deemed as, you know, trendy or of worth in the world. And what was it that just I wanted, even if no one else wanted that thing? So I had to be able to pull away for a bit in order to discern between those two desires. And once you do that, once you really pull away, and you don't have to go on a social media fast, but even just not checking your phone in the morning for 2 hours, not checking your phone after, you know, 9 p.m. or whatever your sleep routine is, but having blocks throughout the day where you're getting rid of all of the noise, you're putting technology aside, and you're just tuning back in with yourself. And this is really key. This is why the last episode was, you know, your best friends in 2023 being silent space and presence, because that is the foundation. All of these episodes, even within season 1 and season 2, most often there is some strategic sequential order that I'm basically sharing these in. They stack upon one another. What may seem chaotic and kind of all over the place and like random episodes, they actually build upon one another. So it was not, you know, by accident that first episode or second episode was about space, silence, and presence. That really is the foundation that you need in order to get clear on what you actually want. And when you become clear on that and have that real precise clarity, you're then able to start building the life that you are proud of. The reason why I love this concept of building a life that you are proud of versus follow your passion is that follow your passion seems very short term. It doesn't seem super sustainable to me, because number one, a lot of people don't know what their passion is. And then number two, it seems like you're dependent upon something that is outside of you, right? This passion that's out there. And if you follow it, somehow it'll bring fulfillment in your life and you'll be happier. But yet that thing you're following, you don't know what it is yet, and it's a mystery. So we put so much of our energy into that idea of following the passion, when really statistically there's not a lot of success behind it, because it comes with a lot of unknown questions. Building a life that you are proud of is way more long term. It requires daily habits. It requires systems. It requires stacking your life brick by brick. And it's really about the 1%. It's a system of continuous small improvements, like tiny 1% improvements, because you're building a life. You're not just following a passion for a career. you're not following a passion for a season in your life. You're not following a passion, you know, to go do this or go do that. You're building a life. And within that life, there may be several and numerous passions that you come upon, but what you're really building is your life. And I'm going to be giving you 8 foundational pillars that can help you to start to build this system. I look at life as very holistic. It's an ecosystem. And so I kind of picture each of these 8 pillars as if they were their own ecosystem. They're like, imagine like a little circle. If I were to draw a diagram and I have a little circle, that's the first pillar. And then next to it, another circle, that's the second pillar. And there's a line that's connecting the two. And then the third circle, and then a line from the second to the third circle. But all of these 8 circles go in one big circle. So there's a giant circle all connected by 8 mini circles with lines in between them. And together the 8 make up an entire ecosystem, which is your life. So what we're really building here is we're building an ecosystem. So if you can start to understand these 8 different pillars, these 8 circles within the giant circle, then you have the formula to begin to strategize and build your life brick by brick. Now, this is from my perspective. This is from my opinion of the 8 pillars that I have seen throughout my life that really contribute to building a life that you are proud of. One thing I have to say as we get into this is that building a life that you are proud of requires discipline. And I think some people have an unhealthy relationship with discipline. And what I mean by that is that when they hear the word discipline, it actually makes them uneasy. It kind of puts a bad taste in their mouth. And they think of, you know, I don't know, like military discipline, really strict, unhappy, not like rigid. When I used to think of discipline years and years and years ago, I literally thought about your freedom being stripped away. Like that was my version of discipline. It seemed really harsh, you know, be disciplined with eating. Okay, so that means I can't have fun. I can't enjoy my food. I have to eat all these things that are quote unquote healthy that I don't like, that don't taste good. Like I had such a polluted taste in my mind of discipline. And what I've come to realize over the past few years is that discipline really equals freedom, and discipline is required to start to build the life that you can be proud of. And a life that you are proud of is a life that is healthy, a life that brings fulfillment, and a life that brings joy as well. It's both. It's a life of success. It's a life of freedom. It's a life of happiness. It's a life of connection and deep, deep joy that comes from the hard work that you've put in to build that life for yourself. So let's kind of dive into this. One thing I want to preface is that you have one life. This is your one life. So do not get swayed by the opinions of others. I know it's really difficult, especially when there's people around you that have strong opinions. And if you're not really sure on what you want to do in life, but remember, everyone has a very individual path. That's how it's designed. We're all different. We're all unique. No one is special, but we're all unique. We all have our different unique strengths and gifts that we bring to the table. And many, many people have different paths. Some people are obsessed with business. They love business, right? Some people love skiing and hitting the slopes. But for others, like building a business, that's the equivalent of skiing to them. Like they genuinely love building businesses. So we can get caught into the trap of, oh, to be happy and fulfilled, I need to own my own business or build my own business. And that's not true. It's just there are people throughout the world that really love that and that thrive at that. There are people that love working in corporate centers. There are people that love working for nonprofits. There are people that don't like working at all, and they're free spirits and nomads. It just goes to show that the world is a giant tapestry, and you are one tiny string in that tapestry, but we are all individualized with different materials, different colors. And you're meant to be that so that you can fit into the overall tapestry, because it paints a giant picture as we step back. But if you're constantly trying to change and morph yourself into something that you're not, it begins to taint the overall image and the overall ecosystem of what we can accomplish as humanity. So I wanted to preface that we need your uniqueness. The world needs you. If you weren't needed, you wouldn't be here. So really get to a point to where you can trust yourself, to where you can really rely on yourself, and you can know that you do bring value to the table, but it's going to be up to you to be able to see that value and to be able to see and understand your own worth. And that will come the more that you create that discipline within your life. Self-worth, really, if you boil it down, is the willingness to do hard things. As you do hard things, as you do what you say you will do and keep your word with yourself, as you follow through on things and as you start to build and see those results, your self-worth will naturally grow. It's not something you need to read in a book. You don't need to go to a coach. You don't need to sign up for some Tony Robbins seminar. All those things can act as great stimulants, but at the end of the day, it's actually really simple. It takes time, it takes patience, but it's just, again, a system of continuous small improvements every day, small little habits, the 1%, just bit by bit. So within this ecosystem, and as I go through these 8 pillars, we're going to be focusing on systems, not goals. This is something, there's a really good book called Atomic Habits. You've probably heard it, by James Clear, but he talks about this a lot, of how you want to focus on systems, not goals, because the results will take care of themselves within systems. Goals are for directions, but systems are for progress. So what we're building here, when we're building a life that we're proud of, is we're building a system. When you follow your passion, you're following a direction. You're going towards a direction, but it's a continuous pursuit because you're chasing this passion. We don't want to chase anymore. We don't want to grind anymore. We don't want to hustle anymore. We don't want to push. We're stepping into a new paradigm where we're magnetizing what is right towards us. We're attracting, we're operating from a place of knowing, and that is going to attract the right things in our life. And that requires systems. Systems then allow for that continuous progress that aligns and matches up with who you are. So let's dive into this, the 8 pillars of the ecosystem to help you build a life that you are proud of. The first one is nutrition. Of course it is. You are what you eat. I don't know who said that, Socrates or someone smart like that, but you literally are what you eat. If you start to dive into the actual physiology and anatomy of the body, and you look at the anatomy of plants and of food itself, it is life force. It's chi. That's why we eat food. That's what calories are. It's just a measure of energy. So when you partake of food, you're putting fuel into your body. It's no different than a car. If you have a diesel truck and you put unleaded gasoline, you're about to fuck up that engine really bad. And it's the same thing with our bodies. But this is where it gets really tricky, is that the human body is incredibly resilient. It's the ultimate adaptation machine. The human body can adapt to any environment, to anything. The downside to that is that because it can adapt and because it is resilient, you can feed your body a bunch of crap for years and years and years, for some people, decades. And it takes so much time for you to actually start seeing the consequences of this. And so there's a lot of fad diets. There's a lot of things you can partake of and you're like, I feel fine. But it takes time to stack up and to really do damage. The other thing too is, I just don't think we've actually seen what we're capable of. Like, there's not many people and many examples in the world of eating so healthy that we then begin to reverse our age. We then begin to be so healthy that our skin is glowing. Our organs literally start to reverse their age. We have so much energy that we have to eat. We need to eat less and less food. This is what breatharians are. They no longer need energy from food, but simply from the breath of life. And I know that may sound crazy to some people, but if you're curious, really look into it, because the human body is more capable than what we could even imagine. But you then combine that with the soul, which is really infinite energy, infinite potential. There are many things that we can do that we would label as miracles that just have not become the norm. What is the norm is eating food that's poison. Look at labels these days. It's full of, you know, red dyes and blue dye 40 and different pesticides and herbicides and additives and natural flavors and artificial flavors and sucralose and maltose and all these chemicals that are just causing so much chaos and disorientation within the body. And that's where dis-ease comes from. The body is no longer at ease. It's in a very crucial state of disharmony, which then causes inflammation that flares up. Inflammation is basically fire. And when there's fire within your body, that causes irritation and friction, which then begins to burn through certain layers of your gut. It begins to damage organs. It begins to then sprout to the surface to where you have skin issues. And then your organs begin to shut down because it's now chronic and you have Hashimoto's and on and on, but it's all connected. It all comes back to food. And unfortunately, we do live in a society where we are being poisoned. But at some point, you just have to accept that and understand that, okay, this is what we are working with. There is poison in our food. There is indoctrination. A lot of what the government tells you to eat, you should most likely do the opposite. The food pyramid is a complete lie. It's very, very inaccurate. So at some point, we need to take ownership and understand that, wow, I need to really get clear about what my body needs and what actually is healthy. Nutrition is everything. It's the fuel. And these eight pillars, I am kind of doing in order. I mean, they're holistic. So there's no order. It's synarchy, right? There's no hierarchy. They're all self-organizing pillars. They all operate independent in and of themselves, but they're all connected. And there's no one that is above the other. They're all important. But in terms of practicality and ease of application, I'm going to create an order for these. And the first is nutrition, because everyone has access to this ability to be able to manage your nutrition. Because if you don't eat food, you die. So if you're alive, you're eating some type of food. And that's where you really want to start, is with the nutrition. Food is literally medicine. We can cure cancer. It's been done literally thousands and thousands of times. We can reverse diabetes, AIDS, HIV, all these things can be healed with food. It's been done. It's documented. This is scientifically proven. Like, just get some curiosity to dive into this and start to study this, because it has been done and it has been shut down several times by many, many powerful people. But it is out there. Food is literally medicine. And if we had the knowledge and got on the right diets, then we can begin to see that. We're not going to dive deep into diets or what is good for you or what's not, because it is different for every person. All I'm going to say is that, number one, try and avoid as much sugar as you can. Sugar is poison. Number two, gluten is not at all healthy for you. There's a lot of irritants that are within that. Number three, be eating foods that are alive, that come from nature. The vegetables that come from the ground, fruit that comes from trees, and you want to be consuming things that are naturally coming from the earth. If you consume meat, it's consuming meat that is organic and that is healthy, grass-fed, you know, beef or grass-fed steak, things that are coming from a source that you know can be tracked and is really healthy. Make sure that you are really being conscientious of where you get your food from. Start to read labels if you don't. Become familiar with some of these things. The easiest hack is just, if the label is long, really long, the ingredients label, don't eat it. It's that simple. If the ingredients label is really, really long, don't eat it. Anything that is organic and natural has very few ingredients within it. So that's kind of a very surface level of food, but begin to get curious about your nutrition. If you have any issues right now with anything, your health, your money, your relationships, food plays a part in this. I promise you this. So begin to experiment. And if you have more deeper questions about, you know, diets or different things, feel free to reach out to me. The last thing I will say with nutrition is tune in with nature. Nature has literally all the answers that we need. And there is a certain rhythm that nature operates by. There's a circadian rhythm that it's called, of certain times of the day that you should be eating, certain foods that you should eat during certain times. Your heaviest, most dense foods, you should be eating between about noon to 4 p.m. This is when the sun is highest in the sky. Therefore, in alignment with your circadian rhythm, your metabolism is highest. So your digestive system will be at full power during this window of time. So save and eat your heaviest foods between that time window. Try to eat lighter foods in the morning, because as you wake up, you're now in a state of what we would call air. You're in an air state, as you have all four elements within your body. You have air, earth, fire, and water. And as you wake up, you're in an air state. From 12 to 4, it's within a fire state. From then 4 about to a 9, you're then in water state, which is emotions. And then as you sleep and get deeper into REM, your earth and your grounding and your healing. So there is a deep connection to nature, very much so. So be very cognizant of that and start to, again, become more curious about your nutrition and find the diet that works best for you. And start to become conscientious of your nutrition. You don't have to go crazy with it. You know, what I always tell people is that you want to be healthy 80% of the time. The other 20%, for now, eat whatever you want, right? Don't kill yourself over that. We want to go for sustainability here. This is the 1%. So don't all of a sudden empty your pantry tonight, jump on a keto diet, and just think you're going to change your life, because more likely than not, you're going to burn yourself out. You're going to shoot your adrenals, and it's just not going to be sustainable, and you end up relapsing. We want all of these changes to be sustainable. That's what we're going for, sustainable growth. And sustainability requires systems of daily habits of the 1% little by little. So just experiment. Take certain foods out, put certain foods in, and try it for a couple weeks, and just continue that process. But nutrition absolutely is number one. Number two is sleep. This is something that I have neglected quite a bit, because I feel like for a time in society, and I was kind of pulled into it, it was a badge of honor, right? You can sleep when you die, and success don't sleep. Little, you know, phrases like that that we take to heart, and we really do get our ego enmeshed with that. And we think that by sacrificing sleep, we'll get more done and work harder and we'll be seen more for that. But the reality is it just ends up killing you in the long run. Your sleep is your rest. It's your recharge. If you don't charge your iPhone, it doesn't work. It dies. It's the same as the body. You have to recharge. You have to rest. You need that REM sleep to where, and that deep sleep to where you can really start to heal the cellular functions within your body. You need to rest to be able to restart again the next day, have the full energy that you need. So begin messing around with your sleep. Really try and create a nightly routine that can begin the gateway into your sleep. I've never really had a nightly routine until about probably 3 months ago. That was the first time I ever started a nightly routine. And it has absolutely been a game changer, not because of the nightly routine itself, but because that was kind of a marker point of like, oh, hey, it's time to wind down and now it's time for bed. Like the nightly routine, like, drew a line in the sand of like, okay, day's over. You still have a ton of work to do. Yes, you still have a lot of things in your mind. You still have all these things going on. There's still chaos in your life. You may have a bunch of kids in the house. Like, whatever the situation is, it's chaos. But the nightly routine then draws that line. It's like, hey, all that put to the side, you can finish tomorrow. But now it's time to wind down and to prioritize your sleep and go to bed. Without a nightly routine, then you just don't prioritize sleep. Next thing you know, it's 2 a.m. and you're still awake, because there's an infinite amount of work in this world to be completed. So a nightly routine helps you to kind of wrap up the day, draw that line in between, you know, day and night, and then prioritize your sleep. So I would really recommend developing a nightly routine of what works for you. Some of the things I'll share that I do. Number one, I have a specific time. You know, at a very specific time, and I don't stick to this all the time because life is crazy, but most of the time, my nightly routine will start at about 9:30 p.m. That's what I really, really shoot for. Again, I'm far from perfect with it, but that's what I'm shooting for. Because if I'm waking up earlier, then that really is when I need to begin winding down. That means at 9:30, the sleep mode goes onto my phone, and I'm trying not to then use my phone after that point. It's like phone is done, no more blue light. We need to really start winding down so that natural melatonin can be released from your brain. So we don't have to medicate ourselves to then try and go to sleep. And then we're over-medicated, so it's hard to wake up. Then we're trying to get that out of our system. So then we take uppers to then wake up and have more energy, grab a coffee. It's, you know, the loop, right? It continues. So it all begins with the night before in your nightly routine. So I start at about 9:30, phone is off, begin to wind down, brush my teeth so that then there's no more food that's being eaten. This is a really, really big one. You should stop eating your food 3 hours before you go to bed. So whatever time that is, whatever time you decide to go to bed, 3 hours before, you really should stop eating food because it takes about 3 hours for the food to move through your digestive system. And that takes a lot of energy to digest. If you have a lot of energy, if the factory is still on in your body, the digestion is still moving and still pulling energy from your body, you're not going to be able to fall asleep. And if even if you can, it's not going to be deep sleep because your body is still at work. It's still operating. You want your whole body to shut down. That means you need your body to be empty of all food. So 3 hours before, stop eating. So with the nightly routine, there's no more food. Teeth are brushed. Phone is away. And then I began to start with a gua sha practice of really focusing on my lymphatic system. This is something that I have never prioritized before because I wasn't familiar with it. So if you're curious, really dive into it. But your lymphatic system is essentially your sewage system within your body. Everything in your body, in order to create energy, has to eat. You have cells within your body that are like miniature little yous that are in there doing all this little work, all these jobs. But in order to really do their job properly, they need energy. So they have to eat. But if they have to eat, then they also have to excrete waste. Where does that waste go? Lymphatic system. And as that gets backed up, we then begin to have a lot of issues within our body. This is where you begin to have not just bloating, but like the puffiness within your face when you wake up, the puffiness throughout the body, edema. So these are all things that we want to look at within the lymphatic system. So doing lymphatic massages and drainages, which is like, you know, the gua sha, that helps to really relieve a lot of that stuff. So every night I will use my jade stone to really put my face into a state of relaxation. This is what it feels like. It really does. It's extremely relaxing. It's not only healthy because you're draining your lymphatic system and you're creating that movement within it naturally, but it's extremely relaxing. You're releasing a lot of the tension. You're releasing a lot of the stress. And if you're able to release this tension, you're able to release this stress, you're going to sleep better. So those are kind of a few of the things that I implement into my nightly routine, along with taking supplements such as magnesium glycinate. There's a really good brand online called Magnesiome, which has this like nightly magnesium mix that you can take. You can, you know, mess around with lion's mane or ashwagandha, but any adaptogenic herbs are going to be good that can help you to rest as well. But anything that can be natural to help you go into that deep sleep so that you can wake up recharged. But sleep is huge. The third one is movement. Movement is so important. We are natural beings that want to move. We have energy within us and that energy needs to move. So when you do not move, this energy builds up. You can do whatever you want for movement. Go on a walk, go play cricket, go to the gym and lift weights in the morning. Go on a run, go on a jog, do Pilates. It doesn't matter. Just move, get a little sweat, go to the sauna in the morning. But remember that you, with emotions, which are energy in motion, you don't just feel emotion, you do emotion. So if you look at someone who is depressed, they're really hunched over, their body is pulled in, their breath is shallow. you do emotions. So by moving, you're able to express a lot of this energy, which is going to help with anxiety. It's going to help with depression. Like, what do you think anxiety is? Anxiety is built up energy within the body that has no release. It's a survival mechanism that when you're put into a state of threat, you then have this shot of cortisol and adrenaline that then allows you to move, to run, to be able to get out of the situation that is threatening to your life so you don't die. But unfortunately, in today's society, we're not in these like life or death physical situations. We're not being attacked by some woolly mammoth. We're simply at an office and our stress response goes off, or all this cortisol shoots through our body. We have this high stress response, but we're sitting at a desk under artificial light in a cubicle, right? And you freak out, you have a panic attack, you're trying to hold it in, you have all this anxiety. Then you go home and you stuff some food because it's emotional eating, which then adds to the anxiety. You watch some TV, which is just full of chaotic sounds coming at you that are programming your mind, that are teaching you that you have to do this or that, you're not enough, which adds to the anxiety. And it's another negative feedback loop. Anxiety is energy that needs to be expressed. I promise you that if you have a lot of anxiety that you're struggling with right now, you need to move more. Get to the gym, go on walks every morning, and it's the 1%. Little by little, you will notice changes, I promise you. The fourth pillar of this ecosystem of building a life that you are proud of is financial freedom. And this is one that should not be taboo. I think there's obviously a lot of angst around this one because money is a really charged topic for a lot of people. And I completely understand why. And we pick up so many financial fears from our childhood, from people around us, just from society. Like, there is a lot of people struggling right now. So this is a very charged topic, but all I'm really going to say on this, and I once heard this from a really, really good financial expert who works with people kind of on the spiritual and emotional side as well. And he said, you know, when it comes to financial freedom, just get to the point to where you are able to support yourself 100%. Now, this is going to be different if you have a family and if you have kids. And yes, I understand there's levels to this, of course. But if you're single and if you're younger listening to this, first start out at that first milestone. Like, get to the point to where you can support yourself 100%. What that means is that you're not reliant upon family, you're not reliant upon parents, you're not reliant upon the government for subsidies. You're getting to the point to where you can support yourself 100%. And then from there, your significant other, then from there, your family, but you have to stack, you have to build that. And again, there might have to be time on your end where you are going to have to work jobs or do things that you don't love. And it is simply for the survival and for the money. But the reality is, over time, as you're able to do this, you can slowly create more and more freedom for yourself. The financial freedom is simply about being strategic. It's about being smart. It's about seeing where you can operate and where you can slowly start to expand that realm of energy within your life. Money is energy and it needs to circulate. It needs to continue. So the more you're able to circulate that money, to be generous with it, to give, to pay your bills with pride, to not be terrified and come from a place of scarcity, I think that if we were energetically able to see the exchange of money in the world, we would be shocked at how much it is connected to our emotions and our state of mind with money. It's your relationship. So really look at your relationship with money. Is it healthy or is it unhealthy? When you have to pay bills, when you pull up your bank account, do you get fear that comes up in you? Do you avoid it? Do you not look at the numbers? These are things that you need to confront, and you kind of need to get that fear out of your system, because once that fear is out of your system and you start to work with money as if it's a companion, as if it's energy, as if it wants to come to you, and you begin to circulate that in your life, that's when you begin to create more of that freedom. But if you're constantly in scarcity, constantly in lack, constantly thinking that you're never going to have enough or that you're not going to be provided for, then it only is going to match and imitate that energy and attract that towards you. Money is money really, at the end of the day, if you think about it, is a construct. It's just, it's paper that we have decided on as a form of transaction. So there is something else behind the money that actually determines people's level of wealth and abundance. So begin to go down that rabbit hole of really what is money, you know, and what does that energy look like? And I'll tell you now, a lot of that energy of money looks like trust. It's a lot of self-trust and it's a lot of trust in the universe. Think about this. If you're listening to this right now, you're still alive. You're alive. How did you get here? You have a house, you know, a roof over your head. You got food to eat. You made it here somehow. You're not dead. And a lot of times when these money fears come up, it goes directly to that thought of like, if I can't pay this or pay that, I'm going to die. But like, it really helps to go to worst case scenario. Like, okay, you can't pay for anything. You make no money. These money fears really do come to life. What happens? What's the worst that happens? Well, you go bankrupt. You get kicked out of your house. Your car gets repossessed. Okay, now you're out on the streets. Now what? Now you figure it out. You still got you. Like, you, at the end of the day, this is why we're building a life that we're proud of and we're building ourselves, because you always have you at the end of the day. You've gotten to this point, you're still alive, but money can be very much a distraction. There's an energy behind it. And as you begin to trust yourself more and begin to trust the world, you then begin to develop a healthier relationship with that. The next one is relationships. I am not a relationship expert, okay? I've already had one divorce, and that taught me so many lessons that gave me a lot of experiences. But I have my challenges just like everybody else. But through that experience, it has taught me a significant amount about relationships. The most prominent being that in order to have a healthy relationship, you have to have a healthy relationship first with yourself. That's where it begins. All relationships are a mere reflection of you. And so relationships are really an opportunity to see pockets of wherever there is non-love or disharmony, to then alchemize that into love. If there are any points of friction, where is that reflecting back on you? Is it your communication style? Is it things you're avoiding? Is it love that you're not having for yourself? But relationships are a mere reflection of you. And as you learn to love yourself more and focus on you, you then begin to attract like relationships towards you. So if you're single right now, enjoy it. Being single is really a call back to yourself. That's what it is. So use this time and space to develop that relationship with yourself. And if you're in a current relationship with someone and you're struggling with it, don't be afraid to get frank with it. Sit down and really get to the root cause with your partner and really look at these things. And what you'll understand is that although we want to point our finger and blame our partner, it has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with you and how you're creating meaning around what is happening and how you are interpreting things within that situation. There is a deep, deep need within us to feel love, to be seen, to be heard, to belong. But we need to create those for ourselves and not put that on our partner to create it for us. The next thing is environment. Environment, I talked about this in the first season, is the ultimate hack. The environment is everything. If you are in a bad environment, I don't care how good you eat, how healthy you are, how much you go to the gym. If you are in a bad environment, the environment will win at the end of the day. You cannot outwin the environment. Environment is everything because we are adaptable human beings. So you eventually, over time, will adapt to your environment. You will adapt to the five people around you, the average of the five people, right? We adapt. That's who we are. It's both a good thing, a really, really good thing, but then it can also be a shadow and it can have a lot of disadvantages. It's a two-edged sword. So you got to be conscientious of your environment. Environment is about safety. It's about creating safety within yourself and around you. And if you don't feel safe, you're not going to make a lot of money. You're not going to be healthy. You're not going to sleep well. A lot of environment comes down to safety. So make sure you're in an environment that prioritizes your safety. And I'm not just talking about physical safety. That one, you know, is pretty obvious. I'm talking about emotional safety. Are you with a partner that actually sees you? Are you with people that don't gaslight you? Are you with people that tear you down and that don't celebrate your wins? Are you with people that have such an ego that they literally can't lift you up when something goes right for you? Be conscientious of this. What environment are you in? Are you in a dark environment that has a lot of chaos, that has a lot of noise, that has a lot of low energy? Environment will make or break you, I promise you. So be conscientious of your environment. The next pillar, second to last, is mindset. Mindset is everything. You really, really want to change your life. It's simple. Close your eyes. That's it. Your world is within your mind. That's the first universal law. That's the law of the Kabbalah. That's the law of mentalism. It's that the mind is all. The mind is everything. We are one. You want to change your life? Close your eyes. Everything starts there. The way you think about yourself, the perception you have of yourself, the way you see yourself, the way you talk to yourself, the programs you have running in your mind, the self-sabotage, the stories that play on repeat, this is all mindset. So we have to get to a point to where we can, first of all, detach from all these, realize that you are not your thoughts. You're not your ego. You're not your emotions. You're none of these things. They're just moving through you. So step beyond those and start to look at these things and start to become aware of the programs that are running in your mind. What are the negative beliefs that you might have that are disempowering you? And begin to observe that and create a more positive outlook in your life. Begin to rewrite these stories. I'm not going to go deep into this one either, because in season one, I literally did three parts back to back: mindset one, mindset two, mindset three, where we dive deep into this. And I might go over this again in another episode, but for right now, really start to do the work on your mind. This is everything. I think you would be surprised at the amount of negative stories that you have playing on loop in your head. The only reason why we think we can't accomplish things are because of stories. It's the story that you have in your head, right? Of why you can't go for that job or why you can't eat that food. Like, health is a perfect example. I used to think that I couldn't be disciplined with health because healthy food would taste bad. That's a story. It's a belief. And it was a total lie, because healthy food tastes good and you can cook and you can make it good and you can add spices onto it. And it's a simple example, but it's so true. The stories that we play in our mind on loop and the beliefs that we have are what hold us back. They're what create the prison walls within our mind. And if you can rewrite those stories and become aware of them and change your beliefs and begin to notice the patterns of where you self-sabotage, you will change your life. Progress requires unlearning. Becoming the best version of yourself requires you to continuously edit your beliefs and to upgrade and expand your identity. Mindset is about identity. It's not enough to simply just change your habits or change your behaviors or change your environment. At some point, you have to completely up-level and change your identity. This is what we call an identity shift. And if you don't, the universe will do it for you. This is what we call an identity crisis. You have the choice. Do you want to experience an identity shift or an identity crisis? The choice is up to you. But at some point, to progress, which humans are wired for evolution and progression, you will have to change your identity. And the easiest way is to then begin to start shifting your habits, shift your behaviors, shift the way you look at things, shift the stories you have in your mind and the beliefs that you hold. And as you begin to change all these things, they then support the actual shifting of your identity. Who do you want to be? Now step into that and let the old person die. The last thing is spirituality. This is something that I have developed an intimate relationship with the past 6 months to a year in my life. This is everything. And when I say spirituality, I'm not talking about religion. It can include that. I am talking about who you are at the core. This is your soul. This is what this is all about, this whole game of us here on earth. We are simply here, us experiencing as souls, this human experience. The enthralls of all of it, the darkness and the light, the downs and the ups. We're here to experience all of it. That's what spirituality is. It's making contact with the non-physical. It's being able to really experience all of it. All of it, and just really soak up that experience. Spirituality is about creativity. It's about aligning with the beauty of life. It's about believing in a higher power. It's about maintaining faith. It's about connections with the world and other cultures and creating space for people to be heard. Spirituality is about progress. It's about moving into the uncomfortable and about seeing a different side of ourselves. The only thing that lies in the unknown, the other side, that this great leap that you have to take to become a new person, that you are so terrified, the only thing that you are going to discover when you take this leap is simply more of yourself. That's all you're going to discover on the other side of this. You're going to be challenged. You're going to feel discomfort. You're going to face a lot of trials and obstacles. And all of this, all it's doing is just bringing out more of you. It's showing you how resilient you are, how powerful you are, how loving you can be, how much faith that you can muster within yourself when you really put your mind to it. It's showing you what you are capable of. So as we push ourselves and take the leap of faith and we shift our identities to become bigger than we are now, what we will realize is that we always were that person. It always was us. We just needed to realize and step into it and really remember who we are. This whole map that I've shared with you, these eight pillars, these eight circles, is the ecosystem. If you begin to work on all of these every day, just again, tiny 1%, little changes, little by little, just catching that thought here, managing your emotion here, not eating that sweet there, getting 30 more minutes of sleep here and or another night, or establishing another morning routine, going to your partner and saying, you know what, I messed up, I was wrong, I forgive you. It's these little things, just little by little, these 1%. This is how you build a life that you are proud of. Pursuing your passion, chasing your passion, whatever the hell it is, we're done with that. That's out the window. That's in the past. It's temporary. We are going for sustainability now. That's what we want. We want a life that doesn't fall apart, that doesn't get shaken with the storms. We want a concrete, anchored life that is sustainable, that works, and that brings us joy and happiness. And to do that, we have to create a system, because goals give you direction, but systems create progress. And the system is the ecosystem. It's a holistic picture of our whole entire life connected by these eight pillars. And if you work on all these to discipline these and to get to a point to where you are proud of who you are, it's game over, baby. Nothing can affect you because you live in your own world now. You created it. And at that point, then the world starts merging to you. It starts being built around you rather than you chasing the world. I want to finish off with a quote from James Clear. He says, "We think we need to change our results, but the results are not the problem. What we really need to change are the systems that cause those results. When you solve problems at the results level, you only solve them temporarily. In order to improve for good, you need to solve problems at the systems level. Fix the inputs and the outputs will fix themselves." Fix the inputs, nutrition, movement, sleep, mindset, relationships, financial freedom, spirituality, environment. Fix these inputs, tweak them by 1% every single day, and the outputs will fix themselves. Your life will change drastically, and it doesn't have to take years. It can happen within a very short amount of time. If you commit to this, if you commit to building a life that you're proud of and that you love, life is going to get beautiful. And you're going to wake up happy. You're going to wake up excited because you get to work on yourself. You get to transform. Everything else could be the same. Everything else could still literally be the same. You could be in the same place, in the same relationship, making the same amount of money. But as you start to work on these things and start to build your internal world, it then matches with the external world and magic happens. Hope this helped, guys. Send me any messages or DMs of topics you want me to go over, or any of comments, questions that you have. Thanks for the support. Love you mucho. Peace.